you need going into today. It's the Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
If I were you, I'd quit talking right now.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, they blew up a chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's...
My friends at Prime Lending, Mark Hawkins and the great folks want to help you out when it comes to a wonderful loan, when it comes to first-time homebuyers. I specifically want to talk to you first-time homebuyers right now because so many of you, if you haven't done it before, it can be intimidating. You don't know a whole lot about it. Now, there's all kinds of resources on their website to find out everything you need to bring to a closing, what you need to think about, how the process works, how soon you need to start it. Let them educate you and shepherd you through this process and learn more about this process of how it works. There's also rent versus own calculators. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. Start going and building that equity and investing in your first time home. Or, you know, if you've been in it before and maybe had a bad experience or whatever, let them make this experience much, much, much more positive. I learn something every time I sit down with them. I learn something every time I think about it and different things you have to look at. But let them create something for you and your family that really maximizes it and is what's best for you and the long-term financial for your mortgages. Refinancing and remodeling as well. Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. Don't talk to 800 companies. Do it locally with the great folks at Prime Lending right here close to you, PrimeLendingSC.com. Tony Morrell of the Big Spur joins us for the first time. Tony, it seemed like with Christmas on a Tuesday and then B, New Year's Day on a Tuesday, we were off those airs. And then yesterday with all the Clemson stuff here, we hadn't talked to you in a while, but I appreciate you moving back a day and joining us here today. Hope you're doing well.
Sure. Sounds good.
All right. Let's go first and foremost about the staff because there appears to be some turnover coming up. Walk us through where they are, the timing of it, names, and maybe some candidates, and how this is going to work out for the staff changes.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a delicate situation for us to report on because Will Muschamp technically has not announced any openings on his staff yet. Is going to be announcing an addition later today in Thomas Brown, former Georgia running backs coach, former Miami running backs coach. And what it looks like is that Pat Washington, former tight ends coach, is going to be moving on, and Bobby Bentley is going to shift over from running backs to tight ends, and Thomas Brown is going to take over running backs. And I think he's a really important addition. I think this is a staff that needed another big-time recruiter, and I think Thomas Brown fits the bill. He's a guy that's not only shown the ability to sign big time running backs, but to also land, you know, 4- and 5-star prospects at other positions in his recruiting area. And I think he's heard nothing but good things about him as a coach, as a person, and as a recruiter. So I think he's going to be an important addition to the staff. And then again, this hasn't officially been announced, but Lance Thompson is not going to return to South Carolina, doesn't look like, and Muschamp is also in the market for a defensive line coach, but I don't think that's going to be announced today. A replacement is going to be announced today. I know he was interviewing yesterday some candidates, and unless something materialized very quickly, I don't think that addition is going to be announced today, but eventually there will be a new defensive line coach at South Carolina.
Any time frame on that for the defensive line coach?
No, nothing specific. I think just, once the deal is done, it'll be announced. But I don't think he's settled on exactly who he wants to hire just yet. I think he knows what he's looking for. There's just been a lot of unconfirmed names floating around, and I try not to deal in just rumors that are out there. But the impression I was given yesterday was that it probably was not going to happen in time to announce it today, and it could be sometime next week or the week after.
whenever we make hire, I've done this, I've seen this, and I read every website in the country, and I read every fan base in the country, and the next guy is the best guy, and I can't believe when the same guy we talk about how great they were when they hired him, whenever the guy leaves, it's the next guy's going to be better. This guy was a problem. Obviously, Will Muschamp, I don't know how to say it, and I want to be sensitive a little bit, but Will Muschamp saw some deficiencies with the two openings. Did you see those? Other people see those? Was it a recruiting thing, an on-the-field thing, a coaching thing? What is there a major reason in your mind why Washington and Thompson won't be on the staff anymore?
Well, I think with Washington, it really came down to recruiting. He's a good coach and a really good person, and I think was a valuable member of the staff for sure from that standpoint. But for South Carolina to get to where they want to be, they have to be able to go out and sign top-notch talent. And I think that's really where Washington, you know, he's on the latter end of his career and was not a guy that was, he was recruiting his position pretty well. I think that, you know, I like the two tight ends that they signed in the 2019 class in Keyshawn Toney and Trayvon Kenyon, but he wasn't a guy that was going to go get a lot of other players at other positions in his area. And I think that was, you know, once they saw the opportunity to hire a guy like Thomas Brown, who could not only, I think, improve their running back recruiting, but their recruiting in general, and give them another presence in Georgia. Just so much about the opportunity to hire him made sense that that Muschamp decided to go in that direction. With Thompson, you know, he's really a good football coach, and I think had done a pretty good job with the defensive line the last couple of years. You know, the first year was pretty rough up front for South Carolina. But he's one of those guys that's always looking for the next job and had a tendency to complain and just, you know, just never seemed to be completely on board with what Will Muschamp was trying to do. So I think it was really more of a staff chemistry issue with him.
All right, Gamecocks get good news on juniors since we last talked, with Bentley coming back, with Brian Edwards coming back. Were those close in decisions, and what does it mean to have those back? I know after watching the bowl game maybe a little bit, Brian Edwards, I'm not sure what the wide receivers core would have looked like without Edwards next year, and I know it's got to be I would think that'd be a really big boost to the offense.
Yeah, I think it really says a lot that all of those guys came back. You know, there was no surefire first-round pick in that bunch, but if you look at South Carolina's history with players like this that are projected to go, you know, second, third, fourth round, sometimes certain players had a tendency to think their stock was higher than it was and that they were better prospects than they really were and they would go pro, and I think that hurt South Carolina in some cases during both the Holtz and Spurrier tenures. But to get all of those guys to come back, I think – says a lot about what they think of Will Muschamp and this coaching staff and how much they enjoy playing for him and that they feel like the program is moving in the right direction and that there's some unfinished business for them to try to finish next year. So I would agree with you. It's a big boost for the offense for Bentley and Edwards to come back. They needed Edwards especially with the, you know, like you said, the other than Shai Smith, the really – that they don't have a lot of proven receivers. So they really needed him back, and I think he'll give them a nice boost. You know, getting Javon Kinlaw back, Donnell Stanley back. I mean, all those guys at their respective positions I think were important pieces of the puzzle and should give South Carolina a better chance to take things another step forward next year, even though it's looking like a very tough schedule. I think with one of the polls I saw, South Carolina plays five of the top 10 teams in one preseason poll I saw next year. So including 1, 2, and 3 in Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia. It's going to be a tough schedule for South Carolina, to say the least, next year.
I want to get into that later with you. And we'll talk much more about that in the spring and about that. But coming off, I kind of want to lead, and I want to talk about early enrollees here later on and some recruiting at the end of the segment, but did the Belk Bowl, here's the way I look at it, and tell me where I'm wrong on this. I don't think the Belk Bowl going into it was a big game. It wasn't a big game for a lot of people. It wasn't a big game for Debo Samuel and crowds, and nobody was all geeked up about the Belk Bowl. But considering, you know, the first 2 years and there was some progress made this year or next year, knowing how difficult the schedule was, in hindsight, a loss and a 20-0 loss to Virginia, I think becomes more important now because not as much equity in the bank, not a good off the, you know, final the way the season ended, and then you've got a very, very difficult schedule next year. Does it make sense to you now? Am I making some sense that that belt ball is not important until you lose, and especially considering the, how difficult the schedule is next year?
Yeah, the belt ball is a tough one to explain because, you know, I actually talked to someone yesterday who said that the most puzzling thing about their performance in the belt ball was that they had practiced so well both in Columbia and when they got to Charlotte. They fully expected the team to come out and play extremely well in that game, and they obviously didn't. So that's a tough one to explain, and I don't know that I really have any answers for why they played the way they did in that game. But, you know, next year is set up to be a scenario where South Carolina could be an improved football team, maybe even significantly improved, but have it not show up in their overall record, unless they can find a way to beat some teams that they're not supposed to beat on paper. So, I don't think it's a scenario where, you know, if Will Muschamp doesn't win 8-9 games next year, he's in trouble necessarily. I think when he and Ray Tanner agreed on this position, I think there was an understanding he was going to get at least 5 years. It was a 5-year type rebuild. So I would think he's going to get, you know, at least 2 more seasons. But I would agree with you that I think Will Muschamp is coming to, a fork in the road, so to speak, where the decisions he makes in the next year or so could determine, you know, whether he's the coach of South Carolina for 2 more years or 10 plus more years. And I think, you know, I still like a lot of the things he's doing. I think he's, you know, a good fit at South Carolina in so many ways, but there's still some hurdles to be cleared, and I think they've got to keep things moving in the right direction from a player talent standpoint and a development standpoint, and continue to give the administration enough confidence that even if next year doesn't go the way everyone wants it to go from a record standpoint, that the long-term future is still bright.
Yeah, he's going to fight this, though, and I know this from just watching. You know it from being around it so long. Patience is awesome in theory, and everybody needs it. And even at the top level, I mean, Nick Saban right now is going to preach some patience with his new staff, and everybody talks about patience. In theory, it's awesome, but and you know it from message boards and from boosters and from board members and presidents, man. In practice, it's much more difficult. Easy to say, hard to do.
Absolutely, you've already seen some of that from a certain portion of the fan base that has expressed their frustration. Obviously, the majority of the Gamecock fan base was frustrated after the performance in the Belt Bowl. You know, Muschamp apologized for it, and things like that are never good for anybody. But I think, you know, how the coaching staff and the players respond to that loss this offseason is going to be big. I think they have to find a way to turn it into motivation to have a tremendous offseason, and they've got to find a way to stay healthy. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things next year. When you look at that schedule that South Carolina plays, they certainly cannot afford to have the similar kind of run of injuries that they had this year. And I don't know what the answer is there from, you know, whether it's strength and conditioning, diet, stretching, whatever it is. They've got to identify some of the reasons why they had so many injuries this year try to significantly cut down on those going forward.
All right, early enrollees, the guys are already on campus. Do we get a final number once everything worked out?
Yeah, it ended up being 9 guys total.
And can we have that list? Do you know this list off the top of your head? I think I've got most of them.
I do. It's Derek Boykins, Keyshawn Toney, Kevin Harris, the running back, Zach Pickens, Ryan Helinski, Joseph Anderson, Devontae Davis, Jalen Nichols, and Rodriguez Fitton.
All right, and as far as the next, I'm trying to think of the first Wednesday of February, I'm on bearings right now. The next 3 or so weeks, what's the latest, because this is a fluid situation as far as how many they can take? I ask this almost every week now, and then what positions again, and kind of give us the latest, because it is a fluid situation.
Yeah, signing day is February 6th. And right now they have 3 spots, and I would expect 2 of those spots to be filled with defensive backs, and the 3rd to be a best available scenario. Could be a running back, could be a defensive lineman. Yeah, I think it just depends on, you know, who they can get for that third spot. But at least two of the three will be a defensive back. The one guy that did not sign or who did not sign is Jakeem Green. And his scenario is still, I would call, fluid. If his academic situation is good enough, they would love to sign him in February and have him enroll in the summer. If it's a scenario where he may not be ready to enroll in June, they could not sign him in February and have him potentially enroll in August and count against the 2020 class, which would give them another spot in the 2019 class. So I think they have a little bit of flexibility there, but there's at least three spots left.
As far as official visits coming up, have all those guys visited or we have official visits in the next few weeks?
There's going to be a few visitors. Daquan Watts is coming in on the 19th. He's a cornerback out of the state of Georgia. He's had a really good senior season. He's visiting South Carolina and Ole Miss this month and plans to make his announcement on January 28th. Jamie Robinson has already taken his official visit to South Carolina, but he's looks like he's going to come in unofficially to get a look at the new operations facility and spend some more time on campus this month. And then Jacque Soros could potentially visit, four-star defensive lineman out of the state of Florida, and a few more guys, but not a ton of official visitors this month. I'd say, three, four probably at the most right now.
And then finally, what's on thebigspur.com, because it never stops. Good basketball win, a good start in basketball in the SEC, and I know baseball with right around the corner as well, but recruiting and signing day and these coaches, finding out about when these coaches are coming and who's coming eventually on the defensive line. Tell us about the Big Spur.
Yeah, like you mentioned, basketball team, certainly. I did not see that coming with them beating Florida and Mississippi State in back-to-back weeks, so seems like they found a little bit of something on that side of things, which could provide some good information on the site in the next month or two. Like you said, the coaching changes, expect Thomas Brown to be announced later today and at least one more probably the next week or so. Should be a lot of coaching scoop. They're going to have underclassmen days throughout this month. Looks like at least two, maybe three before signing day. So we'll have a lot of underclassmen recruiting scoop as well. So just go to thebigspur.com and get all your Gamecock football and Gamecock sports info.
Sounds great. Thanks for moving, and I hope you had a great holidays. And let's get back to Tuesday next week. We'll talk about a couple of new coaches at South Carolina, some of those junior days, some of those recruiting stuff next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Tony. Tony Morrell of thebigspur.com. I spoke via text and on the phone to the great people over at Katichi, and Shannon talks about a great, exciting 42.50 right now for a winter rate in January and February, which is great at Katichi. Guest rates, book a tea time. You can do this online at katichi.com. Lessons with an award-winning teacher with Jeff Gotham. Jeff's going to join us either this week or next week to talk about that. Big, exciting things in 2019. My wife says that Greg Rushen, the general manager, is going to do some take and bakes for us after our baby comes, so we can just throw stuff in the oven that they've already prepared. That's really, really cool. I told you about the corporate meetings going on over there. And just great things going on at Katichi. CATEECHEE.com in Hartwell, Georgia. Sneak over, get over and play, get those lessons. And we'll tell you much more about those lessons later in the next couple of weeks as well. It's Katichi.com. I will. Remember when Dabo said before they put in a pasture, I like to do this a couple times? Before they put me in a pasture, I'd like to see Zach Orr go into Katichi and see and play the great golf course. Can we make that happen, Zach? Is that a possibility at all?
I just got to get invited first, and then I'm happy.
I've invited you 100 times, and I'm going to invite you one more time, and that's it. I'm cutting you off right
now. And then I'm happy to go down once I finally get an invite.
I'm going to invite you 100 times. We're going to take a break. If you're on hold, hang on, including Chad in Columbia. Hadn't heard from him post-national championship. We'll do that right after a very short break.
Hey,
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boyd with an update on Lakeside Lodge Clemson, Clemson's first condo hotel. Now under construction, Lakeside Lodge offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos starting from the mid-200s. You can use it whenever you want and rent it when you're away. It's that easy. With top-notch amenities like housekeeping, food and beverage services, and lake access, Lakeside Lodge will provide the ultimate Clemson experience. Hurry, because these condos are selling fast. Come see me at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard next to Ruby Tuesday.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for 4 generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
A new year means great new opportunities to save big at George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. Like a 2019 Escape SE with Sync and Ford Pass, leased today for just $199 a month. Just another example why we always say cars cost less than Travelers Rest. Get to George Coleman Ford and drive home today in your new Escape SE with Sync and Ford Pass. Trust me, you'll thank me later.
4200, do it sign. 3-year, 10,500-mile lease with approved credit. Offer good through April 1st, 2019.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Monday's pizza and a pint build your own 4-topping pizza for $9. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Life can be complicated from time to time. If you need a local attorney, Nick Lavery will help you navigate any issue, whether it's criminal, personal injury, or if you need help with a residential or commercial real estate closing. With over 19 years of experience and a former state prosecutor, Nick knows the law. The office of Smith, Jordan, and Lavery is conveniently located in downtown Clemson. Ready to win? Call Nick today at 864-654-3680 for your free consultation today.
Have you been thinking about your goals for 2019? If you're ready to feel great about your health, your outlook, and your family, the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville is ready to make this your best year ever. Your membership includes fun fitness programs, top-of-the-line equipment, year-round swimming, and free child watch while you work out. There's even a life-changing program called The Journey, led by experienced wellness coaches. Just as important, when you're at the Y, you're among friends. Call today to set up a tour to see why the YMCA offers so much more for your membership. For locations, info, and phone number, just Google the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville. Join the YMCA today. New members pay nothing until February. And remember, your Y membership gives you access to all 3 facilities. Again, for locations, info, and phone number, just Google the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
Who is responsible for this?
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
I was on a plane coming back and with some business leaders in the upstate, and Will Huss's name came up several times.
Yeah, an aristocrat.
No. I asked these guys, I was with 6 other people, and all these guys are ultra successful as fathers and husbands and business leaders in the upstate. And I'm trying to learn, man. I'm asking them, I'm driving them crazy, asking them about their personal life and their family life and fatherhood. And I mean, I'm driving them crazy asking questions. And Will Huss's name was brought up several times about leadership and about in the community and in his church and in his family and in his business. And I love learning. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think Will would ever admit it. But when we go over and meet with a team at Trail, we schedule 30-minute meetings that last an hour and a half because I get long-winded by asking and asking and asking and learning more and learning more and learning more about your business and blueprint. And one of the things that I brought up yesterday on this plane back was that in their field, that everybody sues everybody. The providers, I mean, these people that provide the suppliers and end up getting sued, and they're suing everybody, and the contractors and suing, and the architects are suing, and the planners are, I mean, the customers are suing, everybody's suing everybody back and forth, and counter suing, and other kind of stuff. And then years ago, I said, since 1982, when we started this business, we've never been sued. We've never sued anybody. And the guy's like, what? That doesn't happen. Like, the courts are full of construction lawsuits and post-construction lawsuits, actually. And now he said he did have one person that threatened to sue or something years ago because some supplier had a door or something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, that didn't happen. So I think that says an awful lot about them, that they're not only against the norm when it comes to change orders, but also when it comes to not cramming our legal systems with people suing them and them suing other people. That's a testimonial. Trail, TREHEL.com. Let them build their next building for you, not single family homes, anything else, to inquire, to start the conversation. 800-319-7006. Chad in Columbia, hang on. JT's been hanging on the longest in Pendleton, South Carolina. Good morning, JT. Thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
How you doing, Mickey?
Great, buddy. I hope you're doing well also.
Doing awesome. Just wanted to call and let you know my family, five of us, went out to Cali, had a great time watching the Tigers play and bring home a big win. And I was sitting there during the game, and my kids would look over at me and they'd say, come on, Dad, you got to get excited. And I was just watching them react to how the Tigers were playing. And it was just priceless just to see their face. I have a 15-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And it's just, I tell you, I'll never forget that moment and just the look on their face as they were watching the Tigers win the national championship. Just amazing, amazing feeling.
JT, I might be the corniest old man in America now, and I might be the oldest, most sentimental old fool ever, but I watched a lot of that during the game and after the game, of families and the hugs and the high fives and the proud parents showing the kids around. I know we had it, my nieces and nephew and all that seeing it. But, you know, one of the things that always hits me is like your kids have only seen, I mean, your 15-year-old is your oldest one, and this has been basically like 8 or 9 years of great football, and their memories, like, that's all they know. Like, you and I are older. We know that it's not always like this, but like your kids think, oh, yeah. You play the regular season, then you go to the ACC championship, and then you go to college football playoffs, and you go to the national championship. Like, that's all they know.
Yeah. And as we were coming back, when we were coming back yesterday, everybody that was around us, my 9-year-old, he was asking them, hey, did you watch the game last night, and who were you pulling for? And then he was just trying to strike up conversations, or do you like Clemson? And it was just so funny just to watch them. And our 6-year-old, she's little girl, she watched up until the third quarter, and then she was kind of getting a little agitated, but she hung in there, and of them had their favorite players. And I tell you, I was able to watch the press conferences yesterday as we were on the way back from Cali, and my wife said to me after the game, she said, you know, I enjoyed the trip, and she prayed that God would be glorified in everything that took place. And as I watched Dabo speak and during the press conference, and that's what he did. He just gave God all the glory. Every question he was asked, he said, only God could do this. It wasn't nothing that he did or his players did. God did it. And that made me excited to be a Tiger fan and memories, like I said, that I'll never forget and my kids will never forget.
Well, I know this about kids, and my wife talks about this sometimes, that even though you think they're not hearing or listening, when Dabo says that kind of stuff, when you say that kind of stuff, and your wife says that kind of stuff, they're getting it, man. They're little sponges. And it is nice from a family to be able to, for them to hear that from a guy I know they look up to in Dabo, but it does make a difference. And it's nice to have that here in our community, no doubt.
Exactly. Well, we had a great time, and enjoy your show, brother.
Thank you, man. Glad y'all made it back safe. Glad that kids enjoyed that. Zach, I hate to be the old man. I walked uphill both ways, get off my lawn. I walked in the snow, but the older you get to do, the more you kind of appreciate that too. And, doing it the right way and doing it to where there's other messages out there than just winning. And,
yes, being a young man, I appreciate doing it the wrong way.
And you don't appreciate winning, and you take everything for granted.
And I'm looking forward to losing.
You've never had any kids, so you don't know anything about life. But I'm speaking for myself when I was your age. I was so dumb. And you're not. I'm not saying you are. But I didn't know what, you know, I took everything at face value and I wasn't paying attention to that kind of stuff. I'm paying a lot more attention now. You won't be dumb forever, Zach.
Listen, I'm smarter than I was last year, but I'm not as smart as I'm going to be next year.
You're the subject of our flight a bunch too, man. People love you, man. They love, I'm telling you, man. Everywhere I go in California. I'm in California, 3,000 miles away. Hey, where's Zach? Is that coming out?
Couldn't catch that invite on the flight out.
Come see Zach. Is that coming?
Couldn't catch that invite on the flight out.
Is it going to be the parade? Is it going to be on Dabo? Is it going
to
be?
We out here.
Chad said Columbia, 654 Roar. Hey, good morning, Chad. Thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
Mickey, could be blessed. That's what you say, right?
Yep.
Blessed.
Yep, could be more blessed. Yep.
Nick, the offensive line gets so much, you know, hell on message boards and, you know, really get the blame for everything, right? Yep. And, you know, can't run it against Bama. You know, don't know if we can keep Trevor upright. Just on and on and on. And, Mick, to me, the highlight of the game was the end of the game when they got that curtain call. You know, I mean, they got basically dominated last year. And, you know, to run off the field, you know, milking 10 minutes off the clock and not giving up a sack and really dominating the game. To me, that was, you know, if you look back on it, the two things that we were probably the most concerned about or what we got dominated the most was our wide receivers last year just getting physically manhandled against Bama. You know, couldn't get off the line of scrimmage, couldn't get separation, et cetera, and then our offensive line couldn't protect Kelly Bryant. If you look at this year, I mean, our wide receivers not only made the plays they should make, they made just incredible one-on-one plays that are really Sports Center highlights. And, you know, and then you look at the offensive line as well. The difference in the two games from the last 2 years, those two positions, is just incredible. And that's kind of my first point. I want to get your thoughts on that.
100%. As fans, sometimes offensive lines like air traffic controllers, man. You don't hear about them, or you know, pilots. You don't hear about them until you have a disaster. And same thing with special teams. But there is no doubt Robbie Caldwell is brilliant. Danny Pierman is brilliant. The hard work of these guys, the development of these guys, and they've recruited some really good players in there too. But you don't, as I said this a gazillion times, Zach Orr, you don't set the school record for most points in a season. You don't set the school record for most total yards by an offense in a season without good offensive line play. And big bad Alabama, quite frankly, got pushed around. Zero sacks.
This is the first I'm hearing from you about this.
I've said it for a gazillion times.
First time.
you missed the first 2 million. Anyway, but that's a good point, Chad. No doubt. Very good point.
I make second point, so I got three. Second point, a week ago we were talking about did Notre Dame deserve to be in the playoffs? And you had Georgia fans calling in, blah, blah, blah. Nick, I'm starting to wonder if Alabama deserved to be in the playoffs. I mean, you look at the, you know, their top two of their conference getting, you know, absolutely blown out by Texas. The game not near as close as the score indicated. And then Bama getting absolutely blown out. I mean, if I'm Clemson, you know, Dabo Swinney saying, you know, after the game, our goal was to leave no doubt, and we knew we were the better team. I mean, I'm hearing that they would much rather have, you know, played Bama than Oklahoma, that we were pulling for Bama because we didn't think Bama was any good. And we wanted Georgia in the playoff because we didn't think Georgia was any good. I mean, I'm wondering if Bama should have been in the playoff. I would much rather play Bama than Ohio State. But Ohio State can throw the ball. Ohio State has incredible skill players, great players off the edge and rushing the pass. And so we talk about the SEC all the time. I mean, look at South Carolina. They lost five games in the SEC by a total of, what, 49 points? They're two games against the ACC. They lose by a total of 49. Is the SEC that overrated, Nick? So I'll get your thoughts on that when I hang up, and I want to get your thoughts on one more thing. Who is Tony Morrell talking about second, third, and fourth rounders coming back to school? I mean, these dudes are undrafted free agents. I mean, Jake Bentley is a future graduate assistant. He has no – Enterprise Rent-A-Car has probably agreed to save his job offer for next year because they hire more athletes than anybody in the nation. And so, Nick, my question is, what is Morrell talking about from a coming back second, third, fourth rounders, number one? And number two, you know, he talks about, you made a great point, every coach they hire is an upgrade. And this Thomas Brown guy, Nick, his longest tenured position is at Miami, running back coach. Can you name a Miami running back?
Wasn't a Walton kid, he got hurt maybe, and then the Dallas kid this past year.
I mean, is any good? Exactly. Man, the guy was at Chattanooga for a year. Then he gets a dream offer at Wisconsin to be the running back coach. Leaves them after a year. Then he goes to Georgia. Look at his tenure. He's 1 year everywhere. And so Carolina continues to do this stuff. Same thing that they did with Lance Thompson. Hire these journeymen that maybe have a decent run recruiting to a much better named school than South Carolina, and they expect to build a program. You don't build programs like that, Mick. You do like Dabo says. You hire people first, coaches second. And that's why when we hire somebody, like Tony Elliott, whose dream is probably to get, and they become loyal. Same thing with Jeff Scott. And so it's just going to be a continued run of cycling in versus cycling out. Can you imagine, Mick, lost the Belt Bowl by 28, and their rival wins the national championship by 28. Mick, I'll hang up the listen.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate the phone call. There is a distinctive difference in what Dabo does on a staff and what Muschamp has said, according to Tony. Now, Muschamp wants recruiters, recruiters, recruiters. Dabo has said that I'm not going to go hire guys just like recruiting wise. He goes, Clemson will recruit itself. All I got to do is get a kid here. Once they come here, Clemson recruits itself. Completely different way of thinking about that. On the SEC deal, it was not a good year for the SEC in the bowl games. They ended up 6-6 in the bowl games. ACC 5-5. Alabama gets beat bad. Georgia gets beat bad. I get all that. I don't care about ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac 12. Nobody does that. I don't care about the NFC East, the NFC South, or the NBA, Western Conference, NHLs, Metropolitan. What? If you care about conferences, you're stuck in the dinosaur age, or your program is so weak that you can't stand on your own legs. That's what the conference stuff comes to.
Hold on now. I you do care about conferences. You have
I
to.
I don't.
But, yes, you do. It's just you can also have the caveat that there are good teams in conferences and there are bad teams in conferences.
In every conference.
In every single one of them. So, you know, that's just how it goes. What are you doing over there?
Just put a Philpot, man. It's got a little my chair over here. I don't know what that was.
Just fell over.
Yeah. No, I truly have no desire to sit back and do the 1 through 14 thing in the top and the middle and the bottom.
We do it every week.
No, we rank each team, but we're not saying who's your – okay, let's do your number 12 versus our number 12. Let's do your 11 versus our 11. What was your bowl record? What was your record versus top 20? I don't – let's be honest with you.
And then we do it with the national power. We do it every week.
That's ranking teams. I'm talking about ranking conferences against each other.
Part of the conference.
We do not rank the ACC versus the SEC every single week on the show. We don't. And I have no desire to do that. I don't have any desire to look at records versus ranked teams by conference, bowl games by conference. I don't care, to be honest with you. I don't even know what Virginia Tech or Florida State or Miami, I don't know what Alabama's or Georgia, I don't know what they are ranked against others. I don't care about those teams. I don't care about those conferences. I care about those teams.
What do you care about?
I care about individual teams rather than what your conference says you are. What is shoved down your throat is, it means more, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. You know what? It means more at Clemson than it does at Vanderbilt, correct?
I guess.
Well, how does it mean more? How does the SEC mean more? Does it mean more? Does football mean more at Clemson than it does at Missouri?
Sure.
Tennessee?
Sure.
Kentucky?
Sure.
Vanderbilt.
By this very nature of this conversation, we're comparing conferences.
No, I'm comparing Clemson.
That's what you're doing.
To the SEC. I don't care what any of this conference. I don't care what the ACC thinks about it. I don't.
I think you're taking a very hardline stance on this when it's okay to care about certain aspects of it.
No.
No.
Because it's the weak. I do it to argue against it, to try to prove how weak you are when you're pathetic, when your loser mentality says, I'm not good enough to talk about my team, so let me find... You know what it is. You know what it is, Zach. We don't do this anymore. In NASCAR in the old days, a guy would show up and he'd have an Earnhardt shirt on. Or a guy would show up and have a Rusty Wallace shirt on. And that's who they pulled for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Rusty Wallace would get in a wreck on the fourth lap, and then the guy would go, well, Rusty drove a Ford, and I drive a Ford, so now I'm a Ford guy. So all the Ford drivers come through. I don't give a crap about what car you drive in NASCAR. I pull for Dale Earnhardt. Chevy guys, that didn't mean I had to like Sterling Marlin or had to like, I certainly didn't like Jeff Gordon because he drove a Chevy. But that's what it is. When my guy wrecks on lap four of a 500-lap race, I still get to pull for Ford or Chevy. That's a load of bunk. Whole thing's that's old. That's weak, feeble-minded, pathetic. I'm not good enough, so let me stand on the legs of 13 other people. That's what it is. And it's tired.
NASCAR, Mickey. I love him.
It is. It's tired. It's NASCAR tried to pull this crap about teammates. I don't give Oh, he's from the Hendrick stable. He's from the Richard Childress stable. I didn't give a crap about anybody else but Dale Earnhardt. That's who I pulled for. And if it's not the case, Zach, then you, my friend, are a big Boston Red Sox fan because you're in the same division as the Boston Red Sox, and you love the Tampa Bay Rays, and you love the rest of the AL East.
No, and hear me out here. Maybe it's different from sport to sport in terms of divisions and conferences.
So it's just convenient whenever it's you. You know what it is? You know why the Yankees don't pull for the Red Sox because the AL East? Because the Yankees are good enough that they don't have to pull for them. Maybe the Rays do. Maybe the rest of the American League East does, but the Yankees don't have to. Because they're not weak, pathetic, feeble-minded people that have to have five other teams prop you up so you can walk on. You can't walk on your own legs.
Buddy, listen, at the end of the day, Clemson's a national champion.
That's right, and that's who we care about.
And I don't care about other people that root for other conferences. Well, it doesn't bother me as much as it clearly bothers you.
Be weak-minded if you want.
It doesn't bother me. Because at the end of the day, you pull for one school
that's
bringing home a national title.
That's right.
And you're excited about it.
That's right.
So just, hey, let it all go. That's water right. Under the bridge. 2019, Mickey needs to just let it on go. Just let it go. Woosah. Woosah. Watch the hair flip video again.
Beautiful 88 degrees outside.
Watch the hair flip. That's too hot. Like, can we make it like 78?
What do you want? You want 78?
78.
78 degrees today. Yeah. Weather forecast, 78. Mm. You know what I'm having for lunch today?
What's that?
Filet mignon and lobster tail.
Filet mignon.
Even though it's going to be a turkey sandwich and a salad, it's going to taste like a filet mignon and a lobster tail. Man.
Have you watched the Yahoo Sports video that's going around on Twitter right now?
About?
Of it shows Sunshine from Remember. Well, you don't really know. Remember the titles. And he hits him with the football.
Hits Saban in the back of the head.
You still have to watch the movie because you haven't watched it for some reason.
And one day. I'm waiting for my son to be born and we'll watch it together.
That's a sorry excuse because you could have watched this a year ago.
Before she was pregnant. My life's too short. Short break. Speaking of short, we'll come back. Final segment right after this.
Clemson Nation celebrates.
This ball game is over.
Your Clemson Tigers are the 2019 national champions.
They come to California and strike gold.
All season long.
He cuts it to the 15. He's at the 10. At the 5. Stays on his feet. Hit it for the end zone.
Every great play.
Under pressure, they got him in second at the 9-yard line.
Every victory in this historic season.
Oh, what a play from the Clemson defense.
Right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson once again paints the college football world orange.
The Clemson Tigers, first ever 15-0 team in modern history. National champions.
Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years.
Congratulations from the Clemson Tigers Network.
Congratulations to Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers for winning the third national championship. You caught it all right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Vehicles repairs can be a painful experience, but don't let them be. The experts at My Garage are here to treat your vehicle like the major investment it is. Call today to make your appointment at 633-5800 or visit us at 551 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson.
Running a business takes a lot of work. Sometimes you need help to get to the next level. When you partner with Northland Business, you'll get our local team committed to providing the customer service solutions you need to get there. With fast, affordable internet, scalable fiber optic solutions, and around-the-clock network monitoring, you can trust Northland Business to help your business grow. Just visit northlandbusiness.com to learn more today. Not available in all areas. Additional restrictions and conditions apply. See northlandbusiness.com/offers for full details.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
Booking your flight to see the Tigers play this weekend? Before you leave home, make sure your ID will fly by switching to a real ID with the correct documentation at any SCDMV branch. Visit scdmvonline.com for a complete list of what's needed to purchase your real ID today and see if you're eligible to buy yours from the comfort of home. Again, that's scdmvonline.com and search real ID. Don't delay. Buy your real ID today.
It's time for the 2018 year-end closeout sale at Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. Over 100 new and certified pre-owned vehicles in stock, plus 45 years of location experience. If they don't have it, they can find it. The Edwards family was recently voted Oconee's best new and used dealer for 2018 for the eighth year in a row. Remember, no dealer fees, and ask about the low price guarantee. Get in on all the year-end savings at Edwards Auto Sales on Blue Ridge Drive in Walhalla.
Have you been thinking about your goals for 2019? If you're ready to feel great about your health, your outlook, and your family, the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville is ready to make this your best year ever. Your membership includes fun fitness programs, top-of-the-line equipment, year-round swimming, and free child watch while you work out. There's even a life-changing program called The Journey, led by experienced wellness coaches. Just as important, when you're at the Y, you're among friends. Call today to set up a tour to see why the YMCA offers so much more for your membership. For locations, info, and phone number, just Google the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville. Join the YMCA today. New members pay nothing until February. And remember, your Y membership gives you access to all three facilities. Again, for locations, info, and phone number, just Google the YMCA of Easley, Pickens, and Powdersville.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
He's a celebrity, but he has a simple soul.
Now, back to Mickey and Zach.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of time.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. You know, something that we haven't talked about, Mr. Or 24. We know Trevor has a great arm. Let me back all the way up. Remember the summertime conversation? Remember the January, February, March, April, June, July, August conversation?
We'll talk about the month of summer in a second, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, I would include in that summer months of actually July, August, September, or June, July, August.
The conversation we had during non-football season.
Right. But it was, I had heard before from somebody, and believed it, that of all the attributes of a quarterback, that the two was the mental toughness and the physical toughness was much more important than the arm strength. Or I still think like quick decision making is big. Post snap reads, to be able to decipher post snap reads, all those. We didn't know Trevor's going to have that. Anyway, when we were talking about how great Trevor Lawrence is going to be, and you were like, oh, no, you're overrating this cat and blah, blah. And people are trying to say it's about Kelly Bryant this, about Kelly Bryant that. One of the things we talked about was he's 6'6", and he's a good athlete. Remember I told people how what a great runner he was. We knew the arm talent was as good as we've ever seen. You heard Mike Farrell from Rival say the best quarterback prospect we've ever seen. All that stuff, we knew that. We heard all that. What we didn't know was how he would be able to process the information, right?
Yep.
And the pre-snap, we spent a month talking about this. Can he get him in the right protections? Can he make the right checks, the right reads? I was talking to Rodney Williams yesterday, and he says there was a play, and he asked him about it after the game. There was a play where they ended up having to call a timeout because he saw something, the staff saw something and wanted to change it. So that they're going like this on the sidelines, whatever, and they look over and they make the change, and he calls it, and then all of a sudden he stops it because he sees something that play won't work that the staff didn't see. And so we didn't know he was going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I said this, and the thing about Deshaun, and I think you remember this conversation, the thing about Deshaun that was so great was that the physical toughness, the whirly bird he does against Alabama in 2016, the playing with a torn ACL, the coming back even better from that, and the physical beating that he took in some of those games, we knew he had that. But maybe the biggest thing with Deshaun Watson was that the mental toughness of no stage was too big in his career here at Clemson. From the very first time he stepped on the field in Athens, Georgia, to the last time in Tampa, Florida, there was never a time where the stage was too big for him. Now, fast forward 2 years later. So far with Trevor Lawrence, everybody keeps talking about we're waiting on this freshman moment, that the freshman moment didn't happen. The mental toughness against Notre Dame, Alabama, first road games, ACC championship, whatever. We saw the mental toughness. But after the concussion thing, and there's no toughness for concussion. Oh, by the way, targeting call on Mack Wilson that wasn't called. How do you miss that? Head to head. I'd like two battery rams going at each other. How do you miss that call? But what we saw several times here is him like running over people and him moving the pile forward. You know, he didn't take a sack, but he was still hit and kept getting up. And seeing on the touchdown pass to Higgins of him rip that ball right over the middle and take a big shot.
The touchdown pass to Higgins, the one to Ross down the sideline as well.
Mm-hmm.
He threw it, got hit, falling away, and he looks up and he's running down the field for 74 yards. It's just, he's a tough guy, tough kid.
Mentally and physically.
Yeah.
And that is as important as the arm strength is, as important as that ability to decipher the pre-snap and the post-snap reads. That is just as important to me. Now, moving forward, one of the things that Deshaun was great at, one of the things that Taj was great at, that other people weren't great here before, some were, some weren't, is the ability to handle success. This is a discussion on a trip back tomorrow. I mean, a trip back yesterday. Was that, you never know, but in thinking about how grounded he is, about how grounded his family is and how he's brought up, and the things he said at the podium about his faith and about who he is, and just seeing his personality, I could be wrong, Zach, but it appears to me that he is very much, has a great foundation to be able to handle success. Can you see that?
Yes, you can see that, and it's evident not only in the way he plays the game, the way he approaches the media aspect of the game. Now, you got to remember, this is a kid that was in high school a year ago this time.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
This is a kid that he was thrown into this lion den of sorts, and he's asked to handle himself in a mature manner and represent the university in a way that is beneficial and cast everybody in a good limelight. And he's done that just swimmingly. And you talk about the first thing he said in his post game, you know, my teammates had a great game tonight. Thanks to them. And he just continually throws the shine back
coaches,
to
offensive
to everybody
line,
else.
Wide receivers.
It's never me. And it's,
right.
It's wonderful to see. It's everything you want a quarterback to do.
No doubt. No doubt. He's only been here 365 days.
Well, you only got two more years of him.
I don't know. He told me the other day he wants to win four. But, yeah, you can count on three. Everybody's going pro. All juniors going pro. Nobody returns.
Trevor Lawrence should go pro. If he could go this year, he should go. He's that good.
Yeah. Brad Hughes, my accident forgiveness award deal here. I love Brad Hughes. I love Allstate. I love being with him. I won't switch. I think the world of him and everything he has done as a friend, but as an Allstate agent as well. I've only had two claims, I think, the entire time, and both of them just went seemingly like it was seamless, and I felt like he was on our side. I have great coverage, and I have great rates. It's Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We forgive Brad Hughes. Forgiveness award. We give someone sports every single day. Today I forgive WJOX Jocks. I used to guest on there many, many years ago for a while down in Alabama. And the reason we forgive them, Zach, Mr. 24?
They didn't call you to be a guest again?
Nope.
What happened?
They played a ad after the loss to Clemson for their national championship gear in Alabama. The ad was preloaded. And the commercial said, quote, "What a great win over Clemson for the Crimson Tide and sixth title in 10 years. Truly amazing. The number 7 for Nick Saban. We're excited to celebrate this incredible victory with you." Their promo ad already had in beating Clemson in a national championship stuff. Now, you cut those in advance, right? You produce those in advance, but you don't put those into the log until you win the national championship. At most places, at Alabama, you assume you're going to win the national championship, so you preload that log. Everywhere else in the world, you wait till you win the championship before you preload the log, right? Before you postload the log, I guess.
It's just lazy.
Nope, it's just arrogance.
It's lazy and arrogant.
Yeah. No doubt about that. We finish things up, as we always do. Skip the music, buddy. What do you have for me over there? 2 minutes.
8 o'clock tonight. The Tigers on the hardwood, if you will, go up to Syracuse, play in the Carrier Dome, 8 o'clock. 7:30 pregame. All of that action brought to you here on WCCP. Can't wait to have you, Don Munson, on the call this evening, and looking forward to it.
Can't.